Luke's gospel has spent the first five chapters, just as the lectionary has spent the first several weeks, building up to Jesus' teaching. We have so far heard about people's responses to Jesus' words. We have heard a few sentences of Jesus' speech here and there, usually in answer to a question, but in today's gospel lesson, for the first time, we hear Jesus say more than three sentences in a row. This is the beginning of Jesus' teaching that Luke and our lectionary have been preparing us to hear. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. This is the beginning because the lectionary has divided this speech in two parts. We will hear the rest of the sermon on the plain next week. And if Presbyterians perked up during a sermon, a few of you might have perked up just now at calling this the sermon on the plain. And perhaps you're wondering if I meant to say Sermon on the Mount. This text in Luke's Gospel is certainly similar to the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew's Gospel. But there are a few key differences. Luke's Sermon on the Plain is shorter, which tracks with Luke's general tendency to summarize speeches, not only here in the Gospel, but also in Acts, which was written by the same hand. I think one of the crucial differences between the text, though, is in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew spiritualizes the text. So where Luke, grounded in the present and economic reality, begins simply with, "Blessed are you who are poor," Matthew begins, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The omission of that spiritualizing coda in spirit indicates that in Luke's gospel, Jesus is speaking more directly and less metaphorically than in Matthew. This is supported too in Jesus' use of that second person pronoun, "Blessed are you who are poor," as opposed to the vague third person reference in Matthew to the poor in spirit, whoever they might be. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is talking to and about the same people. It's easy to take either text, especially Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, but also Luke's Sermon on the Plain, and spiritualize it. It's tempting to spiritualize the text, to make it just a metaphor about deeper meanings and about hope for the life to come. I want us to resist that urge. I think Luke's account in its bluntness needs to serve as a brake on that instinct. I've been thinking this week about Finley Peter Dunn, a Chicago journalist, contemporary with Joseph Pulitzer, who wrote that newspapers, among other things, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. It did not take long for preachers in many churches to seize on that quote and apply it to the gospel and try to apply it to the church. But so often, churches, congregations, and good, comfortable Christian individuals are happy to say, "Yes, let us comfort the afflicted," and leave out the second part. We want to leave out the part about afflicting the comfortable. In the same way that so many people can quote from memory the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, the blessings from the Sermon on the Plain, but can't quite recall the woes. Jesus also said, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This instinct to protect our own comfort, to say that, yes, we will comfort the afflicted, but we don't want to afflict the comfortable, is the same instinct that lies behind the efforts, I think, to spiritualize this text, to adopt the writings of Jesus to speak primarily or even only of a life to come, of a heavenly kingdom of God that we will find when we die, but does not require any significant earthly sacrifices. The danger in this course is not just in the mental gymnastics that it takes to get around Jesus' direct earthly teachings. In Luke's gospel, I think it's interesting that Jesus has gathered everyone on a level place. It's as if Jesus is leveling the playing field. We can infer that Jesus is speaking to people of a mixed economic status, people who then, as now, are not used to finding themselves standing together on even ground. And so once Jesus brings them together, he begins to turn the conventional wisdom on its head, saying, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep." In saying this, Jesus is offering spiritual comfort to the poor, the hungry, and the struggling, but Jesus is not merely offering the promise of a better life if only they die first. Jesus also is speaking to those present who have the means to change the situation. When Jesus says, "But woe to you who are rich, but woe to you who are full now, but woe to you who laugh now," Jesus is challenging them to look beyond their own comfort, to look at the cost of their comfort. Jesus now is challenging us still to consider the price of our own comfort. Someone once told me that people say we should get out of our comfort zones, but why? The answer is because that is where Jesus calls us. That is where Jesus is calling us in this text. The answer is so often our comfort blinds us to others' struggle. The answer is the only time that we can truly learn, the only time we can truly grow, is when we step outside of that comfort. When we hear blessings to people we expect to hear woes, and woes to people we expect to hear blessed. Our lectionary concludes, "Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This reference to the false prophets itself is meaningful. The false prophets in the Hebrew scriptures are time and time again the ones who promised always comfort and plenty. The false prophets are the ones who preached comfort to the comfortable and affliction to the afflicted. Jeremiah, from our Hebrew reading today, was familiar with those false prophets. Jeremiah was surrounded by false prophets who preached first that Jerusalem would not fall to the Babylonians and then proclaimed that the exile would be brief, while Jeremiah was scorned for preaching that the city would fall and the exile would last for generations. False prophets call us to the comfort where we cannot see the struggle of others, but Jesus calls us to see the struggles of those standing around us on a level plane. Because only after seeing can we act, not just for some future after death, but for our present now. Jesus in Luke does not speak of the kingdom of heaven, but of the kingdom of God, because it need not be so far away, but can be sought now. Thanks be to God.